Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this will be applicable to all of us here tonight because it says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. So that's us. So verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, and when they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Lord, thing about youth is something that all of us at one time were deep into the middle of. Remembering our youth and how things seemed to go so slowly before we got our license and before we got out of school and all of those things now, Lord, are for most of us here long in the past. And it is an amazing thought. But Lord, the principle here is a sound one for all and good advice by a wise man. And Lord, it would be certainly an encouraging and uplifting thing in our land if our youth would remember our Creator. And not doing so is plunging our generations deeper into darkness. And Lord, we, in praying for revival, really are seeking this kind of mindset in our young people and the elderly that come from those youth who remember their Creator in the time of youth. Guide our thoughts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a just terribly scandalous song back in, I think, the 60s. It's by the Everly Brothers. I mentioned it before once. It was Wake Up Little Susie. And Wake Up Little Susie was one of the Everly Brothers was going out with Susie. And I guess they went over to her place and watched a movie and fell asleep. And then they woke up in the morning. And how would that look? Oh, they're going to think we spent the night. Or if they were at the movie theater, they stayed out all night. And they fell asleep at the movie. They just went fast asleep and woke up, wake up, little Susie, wake up. The movie wasn't so hot, didn't have much of a plot. They dozed off. And so that's scandalous. A lot like the music of our day. They say about the same thing. That's some innocent misunderstanding. In actuality, just about every, person before the age of 20 is a fornicator. I mean, it would be, it's shocking these days if you find a teenager who makes it out of the teen years and is still a virgin, not to mention all the other things that young people can get into. It's a different world than when we were younger, and certainly far different than when our parents were youth. Not that people didn't sin, but it is more rampant, it would seem. And the openness of it. Youth have become just, I think, eaten up by our culture, by our society, by our world. And so the exhortation in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, is probably the wisest statement to youth that we could have. Now Solomon goes into a lot of things to his son in Proverbs about the evil woman and staying away from her house and her door and not going with a bad crowd and things like that. But as a philosophy, as a cover statement for how a young person should conduct themselves, it should be that they remember their Creator while they're young. And there are a number of reasons why that would be. Habits and characteristics, character, are burned into us at an early age. If a child is without control, without discipline, without godly direction, then they do whatever seems natural to them. And what seems natural to a child is generally going to turn into evil. I saw firsthand today what it means to be a natural child, because I was at the Toyota dealer with my daughter's car. It had a little problem and we haven't looked at it. So I'm sitting out in the showroom area where we wait, and there were two young boys out there, and they were playing. When I say playing, I mean kind of like you would play if a building caught on fire and you ran from it with screaming, that kind of thing. They were running around. I was sitting in a chair reading Spurgeon. They were that far from my foot, and I don't even have to tell you what I was thinking about when they came around me for like the 10th time, running and yelling, how close my foot was to where they were running. Nobody I knew. All I know is their parents, God bless them, were blind and deaf, because they didn't apparently see any of this. I heard every once in a while, now. But left to themselves, it was a mess. And, you know, I kept hoping, I mean, it sounds mean, but I kept hoping that somehow they would get the message that they can't act this way. And one of them had a ball running around and kicking it around the showroom, and a balloon, and running by me yelling. And I bet I would have gotten in trouble if I'd have did what I thought about doing. After a while, I heard one of them bawling. And I don't know if they fell or just got, I doubt they got corrected. But, you know, that was my observations of wild young men. Probably six years old, maybe. I mean, they ought to go into the army, because right now they're dangerous. Now, they'll get better, they'll get older, but we hope that with age will come maturity. Because things that people struggle with, a lot of the times these things are sown in childhood, in youth. And it will end up leading to unbelief and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in perdition. If children are unchecked, Proverbs says it brings shame to his mother. And so in youth is the time to think about God, not when you're out of college. There's a lot of parents who have defaulted to teaching their children about religion or anything until they're much older, if at all. And then most are saying, you know, I'm not going to touch that because they don't have a Christian life either, and they're not going to touch it or try to guide them in that regard. They'll let them make the decision themselves. And then, of course, they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in judgment. They don't believe in people not being saved. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't believe practically, if not theoretically, when you allow your children that kind of lack of guidance. The dangers of being consumed by the world are great for a young person. They look at the big wide world, and you know how kids are when they look at something, it just catches their attention, and then they got to go over there, and they got to run after it, and they pay attention to it, and they go in a trance almost. Well, the world is all around them, and it's full of these things. And the standards and the pursuits of the world, I mean, God forbid they start watching MTV. And then they're way off. I don't even know if MTV plays music anymore. They got so busy talking about, you know, single mothers and same-sex couples and all, whatever. And then they're being indoctrinated in the schools. Schools are not teaching them Christian things, teaching them the opposite of that these days. And so to love the world rather than to love God is a condemnation to young people. And when they're young, it's the time to curb their foolish decisions. Those two boys in that showroom, I believe if we just left all the adults go out and wait for 30 minutes and come back and let them do whatever they wanted to, they'd have to total all those cars in the showroom. They would have busted the windows, pushed down all the magazines from the racks. There was popcorn over there. Don't even start with that. And things to drink and hot water for coffee. They'd be burnt and bleeding and not one thing able to be sold in the whole showroom in about 30 minutes, I think. And that's a young person. It's important to form a proper attitude about the world as a young person. People say, I'm going to wait until later. It's like saying you're going to wait until later to decide, what you're going to do with your life. And you don't think anything about it until you're 21, and then you go, okay, now I'm going to think about it. Well, you're there. And a foundation has to be built. And a proper attitude, because there is right and wrong in spite of what the school system or the modern day morality tells a child. There is right and wrong, good and bad, healthy and unhealthy. And it's gotten to where kids are so fragile that they can't be told anything. And this is where it's gotten. They've been untaught, untrained, undisciplined for so long that if you look at them crossways, they get into fetal position and put up a sign saying they've been offended. It's called microaggression these days. And you can just about offend anybody with anything now. You just don't even have to try. Little boy in the first grade will pick his finger up like that and go, pew. How many times do we do this? How many times did we do that? And how many times do we get hauled off to the principal's office for that? Well, I don't know. That was just, God gave you a gun right out of and we learned how to use it. And we had plenty of them. And it was a normal thing. You do that now, that's 3 days at home. Little boy run up and kissed a girl on the cheek. Sexual harassment. 6 years old. Sexual harassment. Can't even spell it. And now he's guilty of it. Everybody is picky, touchy, sensitive, offended. And college kids, I'm glad Jessica's out now. I think it's going to get worse for a while, I believe. College kids have got to have their safe spaces. You can't say Donald Trump in their hearing. You can't say anything that's even remotely going to be taken as sexist, homophobic, bigoted. It hurts their feelings. And these are the people that are going to build our society, and somebody needs to train these people, and you can't even tell them. If they were in the Army today, when you blew the horn, you've already offended them. When Reveille sounded, you'd already offended them. They'd be sitting off in the corner with a sign on their head saying, "You offended me." We've got a bunch of wimps today, and wimps is really too strong. They're called snowflakes. That's what I understand the latest terminology for them is. A snowflake in July, basically. So it's better to start right, to build dignity from the beginning of your life. And honestly, when the cares of life are fewest. Oh, we had so much to do when we were young. Remember that? All that homework. I'd spend 30 minutes to an hour on homework. And in study hall. Yeah. And I'd sit down in study hall, and we had 6-period study hall for the golf team, because when the spring came, we weren't studying no more. So, but it was in the 6-period, and so I'd get in there and do my limits in 30 minutes to an hour. Oh. And I'd have to work, every once in a while. Cut some grass maybe for 3 or 4 hours. I'm tearing up just saying it. The hardship that we went under. And had to make my bed, unless my mom made it first. It was just such a hard thing. But really, as a young person, that's when you've got the time. That's when the responsibilities of life are fewest. The cares of life are fewest. You're in your best health, usually. You got your most energy. And it's the time to act in building a foundation. Because in time to come, unless you've put up the guards, unless you've built the foundation, unless you've stood firmly on truth, your heart will become corrupted and tainted by wickedness. And some youth say, "Well, I'm just going to live it up for now, and later on I'll think about God." And you're misunderstanding several things in that scenario. One is you're misunderstanding the reality of corruption, and the other thing is you're misunderstanding the uncertainty of time. You don't have another day guaranteed. And we have the most time of youth to start off well. We've got more to live for the Lord and less heartache if we do things that are wrong. We have to recover from. A lot of people start drugs in youth. They begin to experiment with things of that nature in youth. And then they get addicted. And it's, as I understand it, not ever having been addicted to drugs before, I understand it's a whole lot easier to get addicted than to get unaddicted. Once you step in the puddle, it's hard to be clean. If you can steer around it, that's the best way. And so we're talking about a foundation here, and it begins in verse 1 with Solomon saying, "Remember you're now your creator in the days of your youth." And the inference really is that youth will not naturally incline themselves to their creator. They will, if they're guided, if we do like Deuteronomy 6 says and make sure God's word is displayed in the home and we speak about it when we walk by the way, when we rise up, when we go lay down, when our lifestyle is around the word of God, then they're going to pick it up, and children really can pick up things. I think it's amazing how children can pick up truths. Spurgeon was, he was a young pastor at like 18, and he was indoctrinated very early in life by reading the books in his grandfather's library, old Puritan books. He soaked that up, and that's when the plant was watered to such a degree that a Spurgeon came popping forth out of the ground. And rather than waste youth, it's a time to build up a foundation in truth. Youth have a sense of immortality. We never thought about getting sick or dying when you're young. You think we think about it now more than then? As we get older? Youth aren't generally deep thinkers. They don't consider their ways. Young people do foolish things. They don't think about it. You get a little thin sheet of ice on a lake, and some young boys come across it, and what's the first thing they do? They run right across out on that lake. Are they thinking about what's under the thin ice? They're most prone to youthful lust. The hormones are raging. Their eyes are big, looking at the world. And so Solomon says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Religion is not just an option for people to divine their own way with. There is a reality to deal with. It's the same as learning to deal with gravity, not falling off of porches and walking out in traffic, and don't jump into creeks and rivers. There are laws involved here. And one law is that there's one God who brings all under judgment. There's consequence to sinfulness, both natural consequences and supernatural consequences. And children need to be taught. And I guess in my life, there's not been a time when children are taught less about God than right now. And to top it all off, they don't even believe there's a Creator anymore. The schools have taught them there's not a Creator. How can you remember your Creator in the days of your youth when you don't even believe in a Creator? When evolution has told us there's no such thing as a Creator. It just all came about naturally, and it's continuing on naturally, and there's no God, there's no Creator. So who are you going to remember? Nothing. And Solomon gives a wisdom here that your Creator must be remembered in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And we can say, when we speak of difficult days, evil days, they're days after we're young. When things happen that are not in the spirit of carefree youth, it happens to every person. Today's December 7th, Pearl Harbor. A lot of youth were killed on that day. And their youth was gone. And it was very sudden. I read an account today of a man who is, I think, 96 now, who was there that day. And so he was never even talked about it. Never would even talk about it. It was so bad. And finally, he told a reporter about it. He was writing a book. He finally got it off his chest. And he saw how awful it was. And all these young men killed. And that's warfare, although that we weren't officially at war. But that's life, and that's having a foundation that survives this world and survives youth. It says, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The days themselves come when you have no pleasure in them. I got to get up and go to work every day. And then your body doesn't work as well as it did. And you got more problems. You got a family now. You've got bills that mount up. You've got children. You've got burdens that come from them, their health, your health. Then you got your parents getting older and aged, and oh, it just mounts up. But it ends in this particular place with being old. When the days come and you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Things don't get better later on. And in youth, it's bright and sunny, and the stars are bright, and you're looking, oh, it's all a wonder, and they're not darkened. And you live in more of a dismal way. What are you going to do then if your hope is in this world and all you have is this world and all you have is the health of your body and your body fails? Where are you? That's devastating. Verse 3. And then this is poetic. And really clever. The body is pictured here as a building, as a mansion that's decaying. Keepers of the house tremble. That's your arms and hands shake. You ever see someone who's old, can't do like they used to do because their arms and their hands are shaking? The keepers of the house tremble. And the strong men bow down. Your legs, they're just not strong like they were. The grinders cease because they are few. What are your grinders? Your teeth. You don't have as many teeth. Especially in the days of Solomon. You think they had a wellness visit every 6 months for their teeth? And those who look through the windows grow dim. Your eyesight becomes weak. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. The doors are shut in the streets. Now, some of these are open to a little bit more of interpretation, and others a little bit more uncertainty. But the doors are shut in the streets. May have to do with hearing problems. And the sound of grinding is low may refer to appetite. When the sound of grinding is low, that you're just not eating very much. But it could refer to diminished hearing. One rises at the sound of a bird, your light sleeper. You ever notice about a baby, sleep like a baby? Some people, that means you wake up every 2 hours and cry, but the other angle on that is you sleep like a baby. You can sleep through anything. Baby goes to sleep, and no matter what position the baby's in, they just sleep until they wake up, and then, you know. People are always talking about, don't wake the baby. But really, it'd be more appropriate to say, don't wake Grandpa, because he's going to wake up faster than a baby is, generally. And so you wake up at the sound of a bird. And all the daughters of music are brought low. That, again, could be hearing, or it could be just a lack of appeal for music and entertainment. Also, when they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, it means you're vulnerable, you're afraid of falling. Things that you normally would just do and go about your business, you can't do anymore. So you're afraid of even standing up and walking. when the almond tree blossoms, it's gray hair. The grasshopper is a burden. The NASB says the grasshopper drags himself along. Talks about bent limbs. You know how grasshoppers' limbs are all bent. That sounds more likely. And desire fails. Sexual impotency. Some versions say the caperberry is ineffective. It was a love considered to be an aphrodisiac. It's the Viagra of that day. So that doesn't work anymore, he says. You're getting old there. The body is breaking down. And it happens to Christians and it happens to non-Christians alike. It's a matter of physical reality. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. That's a funeral. It's different in each culture, but it's basically that. Man goes home and others mourn. Verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. Now, you get the most variance maybe of what all this means right here in verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Look, it seems to me that it's speaking of gathering water as though water is life. And you need to gather water from a well. You need a rope, and you need a bucket, and you need a wheel, and a pitcher. Generally, you would pour the water into the pitcher from the bucket. All of that is done in. The silver cord is loosed. It's like the cord falls into the well. The golden bowl is broken. Means you can't, don't have to gather anymore. The pitcher shattered the fountain, nothing to pour the water into, and the wheel broken at the well. You can't even lower it into the hole. I mean, the whole apparatus is broken. It's a picture of the body. But to me, the closest that we can would be more likely to think that Solomon was talking about would be like at a well. Now, some say the silver cord is your spinal cord. But to me, that's a little bit of a reach for people of that time. Or the golden bowl is your brain. Unfortunately, you don't have to wait till you're old in these days for your brain to get broken. Plenty of evidence for that. But you see, the if water is life, then the mechanism to gather water is broken, and therefore your life is leaving you. And so you're to remember your Creator before you get to a time when all you've got is a diminished shell of yourself. And this is hard. And we all know people who've lived with dignity and pride and strength, especially men. Dignity, pride, strength, trusting in their muscles and their ability to go and do and go here and go there, and nothing hinder them, and nothing keep them from it in their bodies, and then they get sick, and the sickness is one thing, and the inability to be independent and strong and move around, and their dignity is another thing. It's a double whammy. And as you see from verse 7, that when we see verse 6, all these things are breaking apart, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. It's death. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. And there's death. Your body returns to the earth, and your spirit returns to God who gave it. And so, to be ready for that, and to live your life without the burden and care of that over you, you have to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, which means that remembering your Creator is a relationship and a reconciliation and a walking with your Creator. And that, by just logic, makes all of life better and more firm and stable when the body is decaying. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, you got verses like that based upon the fact that the body perishes, our outer man perishes, Paul says, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's a strength in our spirit if we remember our Creator that you don't have if you don't. And remembering, I found that remembering is a problem for all ages, but there is a natural loss of memory as age increases. And so while your brain is at its best, so to speak, remember your Creator. Because later on, you don't find that many elderly people who are full of a lifestyle and a philosophy apart from God, who suddenly at the end of their lives get it all together. It happens. Yes, it happens. But as our one teacher said at Columbia Bible College, a man usually dies the way he lives. The sowing of the seed he does in his youth, the philosophy he follows him through the remainder of his life. The gospel would, of course, change that. But in essence, people begin in the world, are devoured by the world. And so this may be the most philosophically sound, widespread application in all the book. I mean, there are others about fearing God and doing your work, and that's of the same class. But for young people, from the very beginning to the end, this anchors us in our God early, and not just any God. You know, there's a lot of people killing innocent people in the name of Allah who started early. And the Mormons, missionaries go when they're, you know, 20, 21 years old on their 2-year missionary. They start early. But if you start early in the right thing, what a blessing that is. And if you don't, it's the worst. Because you come through all these things, your body doesn't work anymore, you've got no foundation in the world, you're that house on sand, and the floods are coming fast and hard and washing you away. So remember is not a passing memory. It's a remember at the beginning that lasts for the rest of your life. That's the point. Any comment you have on this passage?